to celebrate Yom Kippur, I received a message this morning, or yesterday morning rather, on a gift that was released to the House of Prayer. And what are these called, dear?
Acronyms.
Acronyms. Yes, observe my kingdom with intense purpose, prayer in unity with no restraints. And this was given to our sister in Christ. And when she received it, she asked what it meant. She didn't understand it. And of course, when she realized, as she wrote down the words, it spells Yom Kippur. So it is absolutely stunning how God wants you to be observant of the Day of Atonement. And so I want to take you just briefly into a couple of scriptures that I pray will give you victory. That's my heart. And I'm going to turn on the light so we can see. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go briefly to the Word to give you a little bit of understanding. I will tell you that when we realize God's plan for celebrating this feast, it's very different than the flesh. And I don't want to go into a lot of details. I just want to cover a couple of scriptures for you. And that is, the Day of Atonement is the holiest day of the year for the Jewish people. You happen to have roots in that particular feast. And we want to take you to a couple of scriptures that I pray will help you. Leviticus chapter 23, starting at verse 26. You'll also find it in Numbers 29, verse 1, and Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 2. Now, I'm not going to read all these because it takes quite a bit of time, and I don't want to do that. But I will give you the verse from 26. The Lord said to Moses, "The 10th day of this 7th month is the Day of Atonement. Hold a sacred assembly and deny yourself and present an offering made to the Lord by fire. Do not work on that day, because it is the Day of Atonement. When atonement is made for you before the Lord our God, anyone who doesn't deny or does not deny himself on that day must be cut off from his people." So you can imagine what the law was like. It was absolutely intense. And he says in verse 30, "I will destroy from among his people anyone who does any work on that day." So God had to be very serious. "You shall do no work at all. This is to be a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. Wherever you live, it is a Sabbath of rest for you, and you must deny yourselves from the evening of the 9th day of the month until the following evening. You are to observe your Sabbath." And then, of course, it's really a preparation for the Feast of Tabernacles, which is the ingathering that is in process now. Now, I asked to the Lord, do we talk about the days of awe? And he said no, but they are still here. So be aware of that. What he did press me to go is to the book of Hebrews. And there's one verse that he really wanted me to kind of pressure into your hearts. One specific verse. And that is in Hebrews chapter 10. Now, we're going to go back into verse chapter 9 afterwards, but basically, the one that I want you to see and I want to concentrate on is verse 13. Verse 13, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 13. "Since that time he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool." Since that time, now of course there's a lot of things. That's from the beginning of the time of celebrating this particular feast, that's what he's been waiting for. "To make his enemies to be his footstool." Now, are you not the body of Christ? "And his feet are your feet." So his enemies And your enemies are the same. And so when you're standing on them, Jesus is also standing in you. Verse 14, he says, because by one sacrifice he had made perfect forever. Can you imagine? He has made perfect forever. And the next verse, you better really swallow, those who are being made holy. So now I want you to declare this with me. Say, because by one sacrifice, he has made me perfect.
He has made me perfect.
Are you ready? Forever.
Forever.
And those who are being made holy. Is that you? Yes. You're being made holy. You are being transformed, changed by a radical Father who loves you through the sacrifice of an incredible Son. So if he says that you have been made perfect, and now you're in the process of being made holy, that's what the crushing is for. Jesus was given frankincense and myrrh when he was just a little baby. And of course, of all days, we have a brand new baby. How old is she?
She's 25 days.
25 days. Can you imagine? 25 days. And her name is?
Jayla.
Jayla.
A gift from God.
A gift from God. Hallelujah. Well, she's already perfect. Can anybody agree that she's already perfect?
Amen.
Amen.
But now she's going to be made holy. She's going to be made holy. Just like, I gave you an open door. Just like us. Amen. I want to back it up. Chapter 9, verse 11. The new order, the blood of Christ. When Christ came as high priest of the good things that are already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle. That is, not made, not man-made. That is to say, not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats or calves, which was the old covenant, but he entered the most holy place once and for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. Having obtained, past tense, eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and ashes of heifers sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean, sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. So it was good for a while. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our conscience? Your conscience is part of your spirit man, from acts that lead to death. So the blood has cleansed your conscience, so that we may serve the living God. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. Can you imagine? It's now that he has died as a ransom to set me free from the sins committed under the first covenant. In the case of a will, it is necessary to prove the death of the one who made it, because a will is in force only when somebody has died. It never takes effect while the one who has made it is living. This is why even the first covenant was not put into effect without blood. Then Moses had proclaimed every commandment of the law to all the people, and he took the blood of calves together with water and scarlet wool and branches of hyssop and sprinkled the scrolls and all the people. With what? He said, this is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you to keep. In the same way, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and everything used in its ceremonies. Can you imagine what a bloody situation he was talking about? There was blood everywhere. In fact, the law required that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So the shedding of blood changes you from what you were to what you need to be. It was necessary then for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these sacrifices, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ did not enter a man-made sanctuary that was made a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself now to appear for us in God's presence. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again. The way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. That was the old. But we're in the new. Then Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But now he has appeared once and for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. So what was his purpose? To do away with sin. Say it out loud. I have been covered with the blood of Christ to do away with sin. It's a done deal. Verse 27. Just as a man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. Does that include you and me? All right. Not to bear sin. I'm sorry. To take away sins of many people. He will appear a second time. Say, he's coming again. Not to bear sin. But to bring salvation for those who are waiting for him. He's bringing salvation where? Any corner that's bound. Any corner that's damaged. Any corner that has a need. That's his purpose. That's why he's here. That's why we're gathered together. Go on, like if there was no number 10. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never be the same sacrifice repeated endlessly year after year. Make perfect those who draw near to worship. If it could, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshiper would have been cleansed once and for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. Can you imagine? For those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sin. Because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me." Why? That body was to be given up as an offering for all the sins of mankind. Verse 6, "But with burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased." In other words, the old covenant was okay, but it wasn't that pleasing. It was a way to get from one year to the next. "Then I said, 'Here I am. It is written about me in the scrolls. I have come to do your will, O God.'" First, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made." Then he said, "Here I am, I have come to do your will." He set aside the first to establish the second, the new covenant. Verse 10, "And by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all." I want you to repeat that one out loud. I don't want you to look at your Bible. I want you to close your eyes. Say, "By the new covenant,
by the new covenant,
I have been made holy.
I have been made holy.
Through the sacrifice
of the body of Jesus Christ,
once and for all,
made holy
by that one sacrifice."
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Would you look at your neighbor and say, you better get happy.
You better get happy.
You're already holy.
Because of one sacrifice.
Jesus Christ gave up his body. So that yours could be healed. And mine could be healed. And set free. And made holy. No longer saying I'm a sinner. But declaring I'm holy.
I am holy.
God said it.
I agree with it.
And my mouth better get used to it. My ears are having a problem. I'm telling you now, ears. Go higher. Get over it. Verse 11, day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties again and again. He offers the same sacrifice which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sin, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. Because by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. And that's me. Wow, I should have had a few more echoes. I am perfect and I'm being made holy.
I am perfect and I'm being made holy.
Hallelujah.
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 Now you get a bonus. Verse 16, this is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds. Then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. Because you don't need it. It's already done. It's done.
Woo-hoo.
It's not going to be. It's done.
Amen.
And you wonder why this day is honored before the Father. It's honored because of his grace to us. Because his body was given up for us. Father, we want to thank you that this is the beginning of this new day, and it doesn't end till tomorrow night. I thank you that we will honor you with our commitment to obey every step of the way. And Father, continue releasing grace to every single individual in the house of prayer and in the house of prayer up north. And Lord Jesus, all those that are being prepared for next week, including Pastor Jay for Tuesday night, we trust you in a mighty way to keep the blessings flowing in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you. Enjoy some hugs to each other.